This is the third meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm the chair, George Ryder. I'm going to call the roll. Jaram Agamir. Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Mal Bernstein. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Nancy Henschel.
Here.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Pat Logan.
Here.
Tony Norman. Myself, George Ryder. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Manajay Saba. Dina Pollard-Sachs. John Wenger. Jane Zara.
Here.
That's eight. Have a quorum. Okay, so you should all have the agenda. Before the meeting, and the first item is to set the agenda, before the meeting, there are only two items on it in addition to the minutes, approving the minutes from last time. One was from Lawrence, which he would like to withdraw, which is fine. And the only other one is the one from Bob. And does anyone else have any other items for the agenda?
Bob, I didn't want to withdraw that item. I just wanted to suspend it to a further date.
Okay.
Is that possible? Can we do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, anybody can put anything on the agenda, you know, at any time. So if you like, I'll schedule it for the next meeting. Or if not, I'll just wait till I hear from you when you want to schedule it.
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you.
So is there anything else for the agenda?
Yes.
Who's that?
This is Vanessa.
Vanessa?
Yes. I'd like to, not for this time, because I would like for Tracy to be part of the discussion, because it's something that we talked about in an email stream for PFW, but a uniform budget process. And I'd like to put that on for next time.
Okay. Anything else for this time? Okay, well, hearing none, there's only two items on the agenda. The first one is the minutes of the last meeting. I sent them to you all about 7:10, something like that. And they were sent originally, I think the same night as the last meeting, which would be August 6th. Is there any objection to the minutes as they were presented?
I have some questions. This is Vanessa. I just have some questions. I think they're pretty simple.
Okay.
Okay, so starting on page 3, when the minutes go through how the bylaws would be changed for the election,
yes.
And then there's a date, and then there's another date in brackets. The date in brackets, is that the new date that's being proposed?
Let me bring it up, but I think so.
I think Lydia proposed that amendment. Maybe
Lydia, are you still here?
Pardon?
Lydia, are you still online?
I'm here, but I'm not by a computer. I'm leaving my office, so I shut down already.
So yes, that's right. The old date is being replaced by the date in brackets.
Okay, so just as a nitpicky, nerdy kind of anal thing, there are a couple of the dates that the brackets are missing. So on the page 3, the top, the first paragraph, and then the second one. And I think that's all that I saw.
Okay, I see it up there. Right
and
in there.
And then at the bottom of page 3, it says consideration of concerns about IED by Dixon Briggs. And then the next line says motion to make staff salaries available to LSB Winger. And I just didn't get kind of the sequence of the two things.
That was the sequence in which they were presented. Subsequently, John Wenger moved to place his motion ahead of the election timelines, which we did.
Okay. Okay, never mind. Just okay. Curious. That was it.
Any other objections or changes to the minutes? Okay. Okay, I made that change, and I'll send it to, is there any, hearing none, then the minutes are approved, and Otis, I'll forward them to Otis for putting up on the archives. Okay, that's that. Bob, would you like to introduce the subject?
Yes, thank you. Okay, well, on January 24th of this year, the Pacifica National Board passed a motion on the structure of program councils at all five stations. And I'll read it in a minute, but just to summarize the issue, it prescribed a very specific structure for all program councils. It described them as, quote, management committees, and it mandated that the LSB shall have one-third of the seats on this council and also shall determine another third of the members. And myself and several people on our local station board really looked at that and said, there's some serious problems here with the bylaws, because the local station board is not supposed to be involved in the management of the station. And so it's almost a contradiction in terms to talk about the LSB being part of a management committee. And so at the WBAI LSB's April meeting, we passed a motion that said, given several problems with the formulation of the PNB motion passed in January 2013, requiring a certain structure of program councils as management committees at all five stations, the LSB asks its representatives to the PNB Governance Committee to review that motion and recommend appropriate revisions to the PNB before any elections or selections to such bodies occur. And so what I want to propose tonight is a motion to implement that by this committee, and it reads as follows, and I just posted this to the committee's listserv. Whereas on January 24th, 2013, the Pacifica National Board adopted a motion mandating establishment of program councils with a detailed structure at all five Pacifica stations, and whereas the WBAI LSB has requested that the PNB Governance Committee reexamine this motion to ensure that it complies with the bylaws concerning the limits to the jurisdiction of LSBs, resolve that the PNB Governance Committee establishes a working group to re-examine said motion with a view toward amending the text to conform the proposed composition of program councils to the limitations of the Pacifica bylaws. The working group shall report back to the committee with recommendations before its October meeting. And for those who aren't at a computer, let me just take another minute to actually read the PNB's motion from January, and then we can, you know, I can answer questions or we can discuss more about what I think is problematic in that wording. Okay, so it reads, the PNB directs the executive director to set up program councils as management committees at each station. The composition of the committee, and when they say committee, they really meant to say council. The composition of the committee shall consist of one-third staff selected by STB election, one-third members of the LSB also selected by an STB election, and one-third listeners approved jointly by the LSB and the program director by a procedure satisfactory to both. Term shall be for the maximum of 2 years, or for an LSB member, the term on the LSB, whichever is less. The program council shall serve to provide a collaborative nexus between the board, listeners, the staff, and the management of the station for the purpose of implementing the programming policies of the LSB and PNB. Specifically, they shall have the power to review programs and vet new programs, including for compliance with the mission, and recommend changes to schedules. They shall also provide for adjudication of programming issues arising between programmers and management where no other means of doing so exists. They will set their own agendas in these regards. Program directors will serve as non-voting ex officio members of the program councils. The programming councils are charged with making recommendations to the program director. If the program director declines to act on such recommendations, he or she shall report his or her reasons and respond to dialogue on the issue from the council. Such dialogue shall be made widely available to the listeners. If consensus cannot be reached on a course of action between the program director and a majority of the council, The council can appeal the decision to the general manager with a vote of two-thirds of its members. All meetings of the program council will be in public session, with the exception of those that are required to be in executive session by the Pacifica bylaws. The council shall determine by majority vote whether any given meeting must be held as an executive session. So that's what the PNB passed in January. And again, I think that the concept of placing LSB members on a management committee really goes against what the bylaws is all about. And certainly in the example of adjudicating disputes about between programmers and managements, is completely inappropriate for the LSB to be in the middle of that. And in fact, at WDAI, there's actually a collective bargaining agreement that defines a program council to do that. So that's really, you know, kind of going into a territory that the LSB shouldn't go in. And then finally, just in general, at the time that the bylaws were being written, there was a lot of discussion, and I was around at that time, there was a lot of discussion about the fact that these bylaws should not be seen as empowering boards to start making programming decisions. It's one thing to look at the overall pattern to see if the mission in general is being met by programming, or if procedures for programming decisions or programming evaluation are, as the bylaw says, are fair and collaborative and respectful. That's fine in terms of procedures, but it's quite different than actually making the decisions or being part of making the decisions directly. So I'll stop there, and you know.
Okay. Well, let me speak to it, since I was the chair of the programming committee that actually made this proposal. It was done after at least five meetings of two different programming committees, and two versions, one which the PNB sent back and then this final one which was passed. So the issues that Bob was raising were thoroughly discussed, actually. There are two things that I heard. One is that the LSB is forbidden somehow from having a role in programming. Well, that isn't quite what the bylaws say. What they say is that they should have a collaborative role with management in the programming. And there has never been, actually, a place where that could happen. And so I don't think that this is at all inconsistent with the bylaws. And neither did the PNB by a 2-1, more than a 2-1 vote. It was 13-5, as I recall. And it isn't the LSB as a whole. There are two members of the LSB who will be part of this council, which is intended to provide a connection between the LSB and management, and to provide a space where the kind of collaboration that the bylaws call for could actually happen. The other issue that was raised was about the collective bargaining. It's specifically written in such a way that if there is no other means of adjudicating disputes about programming, which in fact really applies only to KPFT as far as I know, I think there are unions in all the other stations, then will the program council go into effect. And let me say that that seems to me to be a perfectly legitimate role of the program council. I feel particularly strongly about that, because when I was thrown off the air for participating in a demonstration to support Amy Goodman some years back, there was no place to appeal that decision to. There was no place to be heard. There was no place to even speak what, you know, or ask the question, what is this consistent with what Pacifica is, how we want to run this radio station. There just wasn't any other place, and so this creates a place where there is no other place, and I think that's essential also. The other part of this was, and so I don't agree that there's anything inconsistent with the bylaws here, and it should be clear also that there is no taking away from management of the power to make decisions on programming. The only thing that this bylaw requires, the only thing that this program council resolution requires,
is that the program director will, if he disagrees with the recommendation of the council, that he will say publicly why he disagrees with it. That is, at a meeting of the program council, which could be either public or executive session as appropriate. But it seems to be the minimum that's necessary in order to avoid the kind of fighting that goes on over what goes on over the air, which is a real problem at I think all of the stations. You may say that the people who are on the LSB should have no role in programming, but that's not really what they feel about it. They're there as because they care about it. They care about this, what actually goes on. And if you have a management which simply shuts them out and does what it pleases and doesn't even bother to sort of speak in a way that they feel accountable to anybody else but themselves, then you've got a lot of political conflict, which we see throughout the network. And this was an attempt to provide a place where, instead of, if you don't like what the general manager and the program director are doing, you try to get them fired, a place where you might actually, you know, find out why they're doing what they're doing and have a conversation about that. So that was the intent, and my recommendation would be that we not pass Bob's resolution. I think it's, as I said, it's not inconsistent with the bylaws, and I think we need to have a place where people who are otherwise would have no place to go can bring their differences with management.
Could I get in? This is Jane.
Yeah, I'll take a stack. Who's that first?
Jane.
And then Jane? Vanessa would like to speak also after Jane.
Vanessa?
Yeah.
Lawrence, back.
Lawrence?
Okay. So
anybody else? Hey, Jane, go ahead.
Okay. I agree with what I'd like to see are the alleged, are the parts of the bylaws that there is some sort of alleged conflict. I agree with the sentiment of the last speaker. I'm sorry, my phone's in and out, so I'm not good with names, but the LSB really needs to have a seat at the table about programming. I agree completely with the speaker that just spoke, and I'm curious about if there could be some sort of elaboration, or I could maybe check it in writing. I'm not on the computer now, about...
I'll bring up the section in the Bible. It'll take me a moment.
No, I got it, George. I can send it out.
Okay. Jane, did you want that read? Bob says he's got it in front of him.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
If you don't mind, I'm sorry.
No problem. No, it's fine. Okay, it's Article 7, Section C, Specific Powers and Duties of the LSB. And it lists several of them, and then item G reads as follows. To work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, parenthesis demographic, and communities, parenthesis geographic, served by the station, and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. That's the relevant language. I'll send it out.
That's what's in conflict?
Yeah, and when I have my turn on the stack, I'll explain why.
Okay, thanks. I don't see it flowing from there, but I'll wait.
Vanessa?
Well, I agree 1,000% with everything that was said by the two speakers before me. And I'll add, won't repeat anything. It was well said. But I will add, that is the source of a lot of acrimony at PSW. The fact that the GM did exactly as the person helped to formulate this new rule that was adopted by the TND. That the GM went off behind closed doors by himself for the most part. There was some tiny process, but certainly not enough of a process for anybody, the LSB or the community, to feel that any thought was put into this. There's a lack of buy-in, a lack of understanding. There was just the GM saying that he knows best, changing, I'd say, well more than half of the programming on the station. We've got hundreds pissed off people coming to town hall meetings and petitions and signing petitions and all sorts of angriness at the station over programming change that a massive programming change that occurred the week before the holiday season, right before the biggest drive of the year. And he just institutes this thing and says he knows best, and that's what it is. And it has caused, I cannot tell you, the level of acrimony and dissatisfaction. We're losing listeners. Revenue was already down. Now we're losing more revenue, you know, for that and other reasons. But certainly that has played a huge role in the problems at PFW, to the point that for that reason alone, if not other reasons, quite a few other reasons, that people want that GM gone. I mean, it was such a unilateral act of disrespect without any giving any, okay, fine, if you know best, then tell us why you know best. Where's your evidence? No evidence, nothing written, just, oh, well, based on blah, 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 this is what I did, and that's it. So there's this huge campaign to get him to restore the grid, because it's a big deal. What the PMB passed speaks directly to what is happening at PFW and is tearing the station apart. Not that it didn't already have problems already, but literally, I mean, just tearing that station to shreds. So I could not speak any more intensely against doing anything to revisit that, because it is so desperately needed. And that's it.
Okay. Lars?
Yeah, I'm going to tread very carefully on this, because I believe something is needed. I consulted with a member that has a lot of experience in programming meetings, and when there was a listener programming council here at KPFK, and, you know, one of the things that concerns me is that listeners don't have any institutional say in programming decisions. And those are the people who are most affected. I know some of us who are in governance may get resentful and they get angry and disturbed about some of the programming changes that happen. But if in order for me to support this motion, you know, I think both of them need work. One is a good start. I'm not going to say which one, because I like to leave those as questions for Bob to answer. How do you get to listeners having an institutional say in programming decisions, since staff already gets a good deal of say simply by virtue of being staff and being in possession of programming time? So how do we, you know, get to the point where, you know, listeners who are, you know, our people who are listening to programming have a consistent say? I mean, I was at a labor rally this weekend, and we had a KPFK had a table there, and all 90% of the people that came were complaining about programming, and about some not having a say or an avenue or forum for them to come to and have programming. I think LSP members, if you serve your constituents, if you serve the people that voted for you to be on the LSP, then you should do as much as possible to raise your voice to represent listeners and to have, you know, your ears open all the time to the kind of constructive information that listeners who aren't in governance, who aren't involved in governance, but are volunteers, are supporters, are givers, you know, that they should have a place where their representatives or they themselves have an institutional say in regards to, you know, management and staff running amok in terms of, you know, doing whatever they want in terms of programming, And I'll even go to what was instituted recently at WBAI. I think that's a horrendous decision to remove programmers who have built an audience and to, you know, flood it with generic outside the community, outside the state, different cultural programming that people who, you know, aren't used to that. So those are questions, Bob. I don't know if you gleaned any questions out of what I'm saying, but I hope that you have, because I could go either way with certain modifications on both motions.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to this?
This is Lydia.
Lydia?
Yeah. And you heard that I want to speak once.
Yes, yeah, I did, Bob. I thought I'd give people who hadn't spoken a chance.
No, absolutely, of course.
Okay. So, I just wanted to say that I have no solutions. So, and I feel very deeply for the specific stations and examples that have been offered. I've got to say, I have been a longtime proponent of, because there are several issues here. One is the rights of the listeners and how to allow them to have greater input into the direction of programming, which I think is more important than individual programming. You can't have a program in, you know, forever necessarily. But and then the other is the rights as a labor force, which even our volunteers, that's why we call them unpaid programmers rather than just volunteers, since they have to do so much work just to get a show on every week. And is to have their rights protected. I have always felt, and some of the stations have had unpaid programmer unions or efforts, I've always at least wanted everyone to be aware of what our labor contracts look like throughout the network, which I know the AFTRA contracts, they allow for programming changes to be made, and they go into 18-week cycles. In other words, like your paid programmer can be taken off after 18 weeks, at least the LA one, the KPFK one, but there has to be notice. And that's what I have felt was long and lacking, and a recourse of appeal and that sort of thing, which I think is really important. So I see this as a two-pronged thing. One is a situation, which is what George found himself in, and not having a recourse back in the day and whatever, but this happens all the time throughout the network. And then the other is the nature of the programming itself and the standard as to whether or not it meets the criteria of being compatible with our mission statement, and that sometimes is in the eye of the beholder. But that, as I see in the direction of the programming, is very much the purview of the LSB. I try not to get involved with a specific program and be too vocal about that. But certainly in terms of, you know, the general direction of programming, I really feel for the stations that feel they don't have recourse, and I think that because there is so much conflict at some of the stations that something is needed, I still think it probably needs to be fine-tuned. I also think that even though we skillfully, when we did the bylaws, ended up, as most people know or may not know, that we used to just have what is now the community advisory boards, and it used to be the local advisory boards. That's the only board that existed at the time, because our CPB funding does prohibit explicitly the intrusion of direction from that body into programming issues. So our CPB funding would be affected. We have not yet been challenged in terms of our local station boards, because we are calling them committees of the national board. Whether that would ever come under scrutiny, you know, remains to be seen. But we still have to come up with a conflict resolution solution, which is not worked into this sufficiently, in my opinion. And there was a lot of resistance to this even at KPFK, and we have a lot of problems and conflicts over programming where we find ourselves in the same situations as some of the other stations. But they were still kind of unhappy for a variety of reasons with that motion. So that's all I have to say, but I'm anxious to hear Bob.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to this that hasn't spoken? Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Okay, thanks. Well, first, let me agree with every single person who diagnosed the problems with programming that are across the network. I think we have almost total agreement on what the problems are. I mean, as Lawrence mentioned, at our own station just a few weeks ago, we had drastic programming changes made by a brand newly appointed interim program director who had been brought in with no consultation by management, and then just parachuted in from Berkeley and suddenly, you know, drastically changed the programming. So I'm the first person to say there absolutely needs to be program councils at all five stations, and that listeners absolutely have to have a voice in those councils, and that staff have to have a voice, and that as George's example, that when management is allegedly violating the rights of staff members, there has to be a venue where they can appeal, where staff can appeal, paid or unpaid staff can appeal and say, wait a minute, this is unfair, this violates specific procedures. All of that is critically necessary. So I'm not talking about repealing this motion or going backward. I'm saying, absolutely, let's have program councils. Let's have them do a lot of what's listed in this motion as their power to do. But what I'm questioning is the composition, who sits on this body. And the reason that I read the bylaws, and a lot of people at the time they were written and since have read them to mean that the LSB, neither the LSB collectively nor individual members who are elected by their colleagues, which is what this motion says, is that a third of the members of these councils will be elected by the entire LSB to sit on this council, should be micromanaging the specific decisions of which program stays on the air, which one doesn't. And even though it's true, as George said, that they don't have the absolute decision, the program council, certainly as it's worked over the years at WBAI before management just swept it away 4 years ago, and from what I've heard at other stations where it has existed at times, you know, it's a very influential body. And if you're sitting at the table and you're saying, you know, well, I really think that show is weak and it doesn't deserve to be on the air anymore, or I think the X show that I heard a pilot and I thought it was excellent, we should run it, that's going to have a lot of sway. And that's something that it's just mixing functions inappropriately to have an elected listener board member be in a role of giving a yay or nay opinion on a specific show, as opposed to what the bylaws does say in that section I sent out, which is about looking at the big picture and saying, okay, let's take a step back. It's not about this show or that show, but the pattern of shows. Are all the communities, geographic and demographic, are they really at the table of programming? Are there communities that are left out? Is the process for making decisions a fair one? Is it collaborative or is it not? And there's a difference between assessing whether the process is collaborative and being part of the process yourself personally and having a say in those decisions. And what we used to have at the BAI LSB was a programming committee of the LSB, which was precisely to do just that, to carry out the bylaws' duty to oversee the process and the broad mission compliance or lack of compliance. Not, you know, go one show at a time. Well, this programmer has asked for an extra 30 minutes a week. Do we agree that that's a good idea? But rather, you know, it seems like too few women are on the air. It's overwhelmingly male. What, you know, how can management try to address that, you know, in a general way? So I think they're separable functions, by, and it should be done by separate people, but I'm not for a moment saying that listeners shouldn't be there. And the imbroglio at WPFW last year and the one that just happened at BAI might very well have been averted if the type of program council I'm describing was in place. So I'm strongly arguing for that structure to be there to institutionalize listeners' voices, institutionalize an appeal mechanism for staff. I'm just saying it shouldn't be the LSB directly. It should be something more indirect where the listeners have a say. And I don't have an exact formula tonight, which is why I'm suggesting a working group brainstorm how we can amend this motion and clarify and fix it, not get rid of it. That's it.
I'd like to get on the stack again, Jane.
Jane and then who else? Vanessa.
Lauren Stack also.
I'm sorry, George. I forgot one key point, just real briefly, is that one of the places where the conflict of interest, or well, I shouldn't use that term because that has a very narrow legal meaning. So not a conflict of interest, but a conflict of roles occurs for LSB members is that they also evaluate the program director annually, or they're supposed to, right? And if they sit on a council saying, I want you to run a show on XYZ topic, and the PD, you know, considers it and says, no, I don't agree. I don't think that's really urgent. It's already covered by this other show. And then, you know, 6 months later, you're evaluating her and saying, well, you know, have they done a good job? Well, they didn't support my idea for the show on XYZ. It sets up a conflict that's unnecessary. That's different than a more general review function of our communities generally not being served or is the process not being fair in general. So that's yet another reason the LSB shouldn't be directly involved in these councils. That's it.
Jane, then Vanessa, then Lawrence.
Hi, this is Jane. I would propose possibly an amendment to the LSB's participation in this and weighing in to be consistent with its function, which is what you stated, what the previous speaker stated, that they have, you know, they have to make sure that it generally complies with the mission and, you know, if there's a gender imbalance or something that's consistent with what, you know, the mission and the bylaws are, and that it's not a matter of LSB members individually weighing in. It'll be elected delegates to represent, you know, the within the capacity of the LSB, because the listeners do need to be represented institutionally. And the way that the listeners are represented institutionally, because this is a listener station, and it's all about the listeners, and there's this big struggle between management's power, the management's superimposition of programs, which have no input, all that stuff. I understand those tensions, and they're valid, and they exist, and the imbalance exists. But if the LSB doesn't represent the listeners, I don't see who has the authority to do that or is given that power by the bylaws. So it has to be the LSB, and a third of it to be there within their official capacity. And, you know, if you're talking about retribution or retaliatory measures on individual people within their official capacity, I mean, their job, right, is to be objective. It's not to be tit for tat. And if those things occur, I mean, they occur on every level of participation, you know, through from the PNB, through the upper management, through local management at stations, through the LSB, through, you know, those things exist. And we really can't be held accountable for the possibility of those, you know, egregious occurrences. You know, we just have to hold people to the standards of objectivity and professionalism. So I think that's a straw dog. And so I really think that the amendment should, you know, state within their capacity. And I know there'll be a lot of dogfights about parsing the words and is it well-founded and consistent with their capacity and their mission, but it's doable. And it could be by the insertion of, you know, that phrase that describes how they weigh in on programming and make sure that that is consistent. And it shouldn't be a hard amendment to do.
Jane, to be clear, we don't have in front of us the task of amending the motion from the PNB. Bob's proposal was to set up a task force to create, I guess, an amended version. Yes, I think that's pretty clear, Bob. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
An amended version. So
yeah, I'm just sort of moving forward with it. But I certainly agree that
if there are reservations, that we should revisit and think of and have a task force to revisit that possibility of inserting an amendment.
Vanessa?
Well, I think that what the PNB has voted on should stay exactly as it is. I think I heard Bob, I think, use the word micromanage. And I don't see, at least from the example at PSW, that the LSB is trying to micromanage. To the contrary, the LSB has the most difficult time, and I hear it's that way at other stations as well, getting the most basic information that we need just to fulfill our responsibility. And what was the what we talked about the last time was a process being put in place so that the GMs have to give the salary information. How can we be a fiduciary entity if we don't have basic information, especially the largest budget biter, which is administrative costs, which is salary? How can we be effective at what we do if we can't get that information? And the GMs, not just the PFW, but, you know, other stations, are not providing that information. So I don't see at all, I can say at PFW that, in my opinion, that the GM is particularly disrespectful and just disregards LSB. He says he reports to the community. Well, we were elected by the community. So even measures for the LSB to be marginally participatory and fulfill our roles are thwarted by this person, and like I said, I'm hearing that it's happening in other stations as well, who are acting like dictators, and that there's a democratic principle at work here. This is not, you know, some big commercial mainstream, you know, group of stations. This is Jazz and Justice. It's, you know, peace and, you know, and justice. It's there's a democratic fiber here that I really don't hear being addressed, but I believe that it was addressed in the motion that was already passed by the PNB in terms of trying to set up some alternate mechanism, not for anybody to take over, but for other people to have a voice. To me, it's just unconscionable for a GM at any Pacifica station, maybe some other station, but any Pacifica station to be able to just, you know, sort of be a dictator, act corporate, and railroad stuff through the community, past the community, over the community, past the LSB. That's what I see happening. And I think I didn't even know about the PNB having taken this action, but I'm glad that they have. And I don't want them to go back and get confused and reanalyze and rethink and you know, based on the presumption that the LSBs are trying to micromanage the GM. As someone stated initially, the bylaws speak to a sharing of responsibility, and that's not happening. And something needs to happen, and something has happened to balance that inequality out, and I would like for it to stay just the way it is. So no, I'm speaking against what's being proposed tonight again.
Lawrence, then Lydia.
Okay, thank you. I still don't feel like my question was answered in regards to, and maybe this could be, you know, flushed out, excuse the language, but flushed out in a potential task force group. But I still don't feel comfortable with the fact that, you know, that the GM could pick one-third of the membership and the staff, and staff picking another third, which, you know, leaves the question still in the air that, you know, the LSB will be picking a few listeners to be on this program council. The composition will be two-thirds staff. Again, you know, I definitely want the staff to have a forum where they could take their grievances. I mean, that has to be in place. That has to be definitely in place. But I also think that listeners, again, you know, I'm going to repeat myself again, and hopefully maybe Bob or George could answer this, or maybe it'll go to the task force. But what say would listeners have? How can they, you know, like Vanessa was saying, you know, how the community is being affected, how, you know, these decisions are made without even a survey going out or anything like that. I mean, how do we get there? And so, you know, I'm definitely in favor of, you know, a task force to, you know, take a look at how we could improve the PMB resolution. Thank you.
Lydia?
Yeah, one of the things, one of the shortcomings of the bylaws is because those were, we had a court-mandated timeline, we did not have enough time, even though it was an enormous amount of time, to create new bylaws. And because of that reason, we have been constrained, restrained. It allows you not to do things, but it doesn't lend itself to doing anything, you know, productive. So we have been bound by these. We're constantly having to tweak them because there were so many things that were that needed to be fixed in the bylaws. So rushing through something, which I'm not saying this was rushed through. Obviously, it was thoroughly discussed in a committee, which I totally respect. But I think that the issues that have been raised tonight, not just by Bob, but also by Lawrence, are really important issues. For example, one of the things when Lawrence was talking about when he said a survey, obviously we can't afford to send out written surveys all the time, every time there's going to be a programming change. But one of the successful programming councils we had here, which from the LSB perspective, way at the beginning after the bylaws, the LSB did deal with the overview of the various types of programming, but the program director felt obliged to come to this body to explain the programming changes he had proposed. As a consequence, he did tweak that and make some changes as a result. I haven't seen that work since that time. However, I do think that we could have online surveys or whatever, but we would probably have to have some kind of a threshold. And the problem is that something that works in one station hasn't been uniform to help other stations. That's the problem. That's one of the big problems. So where that worked at KPFK back when, it doesn't necessarily, you know, it maybe never worked at some of these other stations, or it was never even attempted. So I do think that a working group could say, you know what, there would need to be one of the things a program council could look at or develop is a threshold of listener surveys, which would be direct input. Because let's not forget, because of STV, even if our threshold, at least at KPFK, because we have 18,000 listeners, the threshold to be elected to the LSB, let's not exaggerate it, is like 200, but that's after votes have transferred. Very few of us have been even elected by 200 number one votes. And at some of the smaller stations, it's way less because the threshold is considerably less. So it's not like you're representing all of the listeners. I think that's kind of a distortion, which is why it's so necessary to have the direct listener participation. With that, I really agree with Lawrence. And so I think until that mechanism is at least proposed or part of this motion, I would strongly support having a working group. And also because, okay, the PMB can pass whatever it wants, but what if the LSBs choose not to implement it, which is a situation because of some of the objections here at KPFK where things are dragging because of some of those objections. So let's work it out now so that we have a really good, strong, effective, productive, and something that stations will actually move forward on. I would like to get on the back again.
Some of the things that were raised, this is before the governance committee. It should be regarded, what are the governance issues here? And Bob's mentioned two. One is that the LSB, I gather, feels has an improper role on this. The other was that it's a management committee. That was thoroughly, the second one was thoroughly discussed in the five or so meetings of the programming committee. And it pretty much has to be a management committee if you're going to have management
being directed to actually cooperate with committees, which were programming policy committees and so on. And they could meet and they could talk, and it's fine. And there is absolutely no response from management. There has been no response. Sometimes they'll be met with, but there's no real requirement that they do anything with the recommendations. In this, the requirement is, and again, it's not an LSB, it's a program council we're talking about, which is mostly not members of the LSB. The only requirement is they have to respond if we disagree with the recommendation. That's it, that they actually have to participate in the conversation and dialogue. So it is a place, this was intended as a place to implement the bylaws, to have a place, a nexus, where cooperation could occur. So it seems to me that I don't see that that's a governance issue that needs to be revisited. The LSB does not have a great deal of power in this. It's got one-third of the representatives, and again, you know, if management wants to ignore it, they can. You could turn Bob's argument around. I mean, you have to assume some integrity. I agree completely with Jane about that, on the basis of people. Or you can't make any structure work. So you have to agree, some rise above the level of pettiness that, you know, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to vote to fire you. Has to be sort of somehow assumed. And you could turn it around. Somebody who's been working with a program director, who's been doing an honest job and has actually been collaborative, is very unlikely to vote to fire him. You could look at it the other way. So I don't think that that's really a governance issue either. As far as you know, the listeners having a say, the LSBs were supposed to provide that, and you can have your say, but it isn't much heard. This was an intention, a place to where you'd at least have to get a response. You'd at least have to get a justification for what the actions were. And the representatives of the listeners, the LSB members who are on the council, should be there. There's also two listener members, which we left open as to how they would be picked. And that's sort of up to each LSB. And as far as, you know, the LSBs being unwilling to implement it, they're directed to by the PNB, and the management is directed to by the executive director, according to this. Our LSB actually voted unanimously to implement this. And I would like to have the chance to do it. You know, there may be problems with it. I'm sure there are problems with it. So the kind of things that Lydia was talking about, you know, things that could be done also, you could do it also within this context, and you could just have another a program council could decide in terms of getting listener responses and evaluating programs to do those kind of surveys. That's not a governance issue. So I don't think that there is really a governance issue here that needs to be reexamined. It may not work out as well as I hope it would, but I'd like to see it given a chance revisit it when we've got some experience with how it works out. So I'm not really in favor of having a working group to try to revise it.
Bob, for a sec.
Yep. Let's see. Yeah, was anybody else? I thought I heard a voice before Bob. Okay. Bob, go ahead.
Okay. Well, again, let me emphasize that this is an urgently needed structure. We have to have program councils and listeners who represent, in some form or fashion, represent other listeners. You know, the broader scope of listeners must sit on this body. So that's not my problem with the motion as passed. It's not that it has the power it has or it has listener representation. And just to answer Lawrence, I'm not arguing for any particular formula as to how many seats should be this or that at the moment. That's why we need a working group. It's not that, it should be a majority of this or a majority of that. It's that we should talk about brainstorming what is the right approach, especially considering that all five stations are different, have very different histories, very different structures that at times have existed in terms of program councils, a couple stations where they haven't existed. So I think it's probably wise to have a general structure of basic requirements and then build in some flexibility and experimentation at the local level. But all of this can be decided within a working group that can hash this out. But I think the points that Lawrence and Lydia raise about surveys are important, and they're not just an add-on that could be done. We may want to mandate that they should be done before major programming changes are made. And so that's another reason to send it to a working group to try to think through how could that be, should that be done, and if so, how could it be done. But let me correct something that George said. Under the structure as passed by the PNB, two-thirds of this body are either directly or indirectly elected by the LSB. Not one-third. One-third are members of the LSB, elected by their fellow members. Another third are, it says, one-third listeners approved jointly by the LSB and program director by a procedure satisfactory to both, which, by the way, is very problematic language anyway, to imagine an LSB and a program director agreeing on a procedure. And I think that needs to be straightened out so that there is a procedure that's set. But in any case, the point being that the LSB will have the major say over that third, as well as the third that constitutes themselves. And again, I'm not commenting on listener versus staff. I'm commenting on LSB listeners versus listeners that are chosen some other way. And I think there are other ways that we could think about. Again, I don't have all the answers tonight, which is why I think a group should take some time to think about what are ways to set up a structure that has a genuine listener voice that doesn't put LSB members in this position of, and when I said micromanaging, I didn't mean that any existing LSB is in fact micromanaging. I'm saying that if this motion, which hasn't gone into effect yet, is fully implemented, it will open the door to specific micromanagement by specific LSB members who sit on these bodies. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a lot of, you know, say in their general role as guardians of the mission and guardians of everyone's rights and community representation. That's vital. That should go on. But micromanaging is, you know, I think this show should go on at 6 p.m. and it should be 90 minutes long. That's what I mean, and I don't think that's an appropriate role for the LSB, as opposed to reacting to, and well, hopefully no longer reacting, but proacting before gigantic changes like the ones that happened at PFW last winter or this summer at BAI, before those big changes happen, then absolutely the LSB should have a major role in that. That's no, I have no quarrel with that whatever. I think that's vital. And that can happen directly as the LSB. I don't question that at all. But the program council is a different kind of animal. They're a specific decision-making advisory body that I don't think the LSB should be sitting on. That's it.